స్టార్ట్ విత్ మంగళాచరణ్. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. నమో పంకజనాభాయ నమో పంకజమాలినే నమో పంకజనేత్రాయ నమస్తే పంకజాంగ్రి. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. ఓం అజ్ఞానాతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. జగద్గురు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ్. ఇస్కాన్ వర్తమాన్ గురువృంద కీ జయ్. హరే కృష్ణ. సో yes, I've been following the GBC SBT programs, and I see that they have completed up to chapter 5, and today they've asked me to take chapter 6. So this is one of my very favorite chapters. Even as a young girl, you know, we enjoy that the big demon is Putana and how Krishna kills. It's very interesting, and it's a short story. What I see here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, there are only 44 verses. So what I plan to do is, I'll read the verses and then I'll read the translation, but not all of them, keeping in mind the limited time that we have. But yeah, here and there I'll read some verses. But we'll do a different analysis of this topic today. Because any Krishna Leela topic is by itself very sweet. But what we're going to do today is, there are three levels of any Leela. You know, one is that you just enjoy the basic storyline, the whole drama, how this witch comes with poison and then she takes Krishna in her lap and then Krishna sucks her breast and sucks out the, you know, the life air along with the milk, and that's the end of the story. That's one level, which I think everybody by now, even the kids, and because of this cartoon and Little Krishna, everybody knows. The other level of understanding this Leela is that we'll try to take some take-home lessons, what we can take. And the highest level of understanding would be if we could really take something and apply it in our lives. So let's see, given time, what we can do, how much justice we can do to this chapter. And this is all the more very special because, frankly, in some or the other way, Putana is responsible for making Sukadev Goswami devotee. I mean, we can say that, you know, because when Sukadev Goswami was born, he was impersonalist, and we all know this, you know, beautiful pastime from Ananda Vrindavan Champu, you know, how this sweet parrot of Radharani Sukha, you know, he becomes Sukadev Goswami when he's born from Vyasadev's wife, Vyasadev's wife's womb. And then for 16 years, he's inside there. And finally, when Krishna promises him that, look, you come out And I promise you, Maya won't attack you. That is when Sukadev Goswami finally comes out after staying for 16 years in the womb. And then after he comes out, he just walks away. He doesn't want to keep any relation with his parents. And Vyasadeva is running behind him. Putra, Putra, my dear son, where are you going? And he simply goes deep in the forest. And then he's sitting under a tree and meditating. And then beautiful verse from Bhagavatam makes him a devotee. And what is this verse? This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Verse number 23, where when Sukadev Goswami is simply meditating, then his father makes a plan. He sends his disciples and they just pose like some woodcutters and they're just cutting some trees. And while they are cutting, they recite two verses. One is from the 10th canto and one is from the 3rd canto. The 10th canto verse is explaining about the beauty of Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami, he immediately gets attracted. Oh, how can somebody be so beautiful? And then in the 2nd verse, they explain the nature of Krishna. So this verse goes like this. Aho bakiyam sthanakala kutam jikam siyayadapiya sadvi lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonya kamvadayalu sharanam vrajima. Oh, who can be so merciful? You know, somebody has come to kill with poison and Krishna gives her the position of a nurse. Who will not take shelter of, you know, Kamva Dayalu Sharanam Rajema? Who won't take the shelter of such a merciful person? And when Sukadeva Goswami hears this, that's it. And then he wants more. So he asks these woodcutters, oh, can you tell me something more about this personality? And they say, no, you have to come and meet our Guru Maharaj. And then they take him back to Vyasadeva, and then he hears the whole Bhagavatam. So somewhere Putana is indirectly responsible for, you know, making this Sukadeva Goswami into devotee. We can give that credit to her. So this is a very, very special chapter. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his Krishna Samhita, he talks about all the demons that Krishna kills in the Krishna Leela, and he takes out, you know, makes a very beautiful analysis, and he makes a comparison that how all these demons who are killed by Krishna are one way or the other representation of the anarthas that we hold in our heart. And for Putana, he says the Putana is a representation of pseudo guru or false guru or mithya guru. So he says that, you know, because why that comparison? Because Putana cheated. She presented herself in a way that she's going to give something nice, but she actually ended up giving poison. So he says the pseudo gurus are like that. They may talk or speak, or they may make a show that they're giving you real knowledge, but what they're actually giving you is poison if there is no Krishna in that, you know. So, and of course, he also makes a comparison that our mind is also sometimes acting like a pseudo guru when it's taking us away from Krishna and it's misguiding us. So that's a comparison Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes in his Krishna Samhita. So, okay, now without further ado, we just get inside Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rasamalayam. We just get inside the verses. So I'll start with it will be doing more like reading, and then I'll pause in between, and then we'll try to speak something. Shri Suka Uvacha Nandapati Vacha Shauri Namrisheti Vichintayan Harim Jagama Sharanam Utpatagama Sankitam. Sukadeva Goswami says, my dear king, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home, he considered what Vasudev had said could not be false or useless. Now, this is something which is continued from the previous chapter, because when Krishna is shifted to Gokul from Mathura, and then there is a big festival happening in Nanda Gokulam, and where Nanda Maharaj has distributed cows and he's given daan and maan both. Now, daan is charity and maan is respect. So he has given lots of respect and lots of charity to all the brahmanas, and he's done such a great put up such a great show, and then he was worried that because he made up such a show, because Gokul is not very far from Mathura. Between Mathura and Gokul is just Yamuna, and there's, you know, so much grief in Mathura, and then they're, you know, they're all in big sorrow, and then here there is a big festival happening. So he was worried that, you know, he will be in the radar of Kamsa, that what's happening, why is this, you know, so much festivities happening, and who's the boy born to Nanda Maharaj. So just to, you know, make Kamsa happy, he gets his bullock carts all filled and he goes and gives taxes. And then while he's there giving taxes to Kamsa, that night he meets Vasudev privately. And then Vasudev does not bring Devaki along. When they meet, it's only Nanda and Vasudev, because you see they also have, you know, have read scriptures so much, and they know the nature of women. Women by nature are very emotional and sweet, and Vasudev was worried that Devaki may just, you know, come out with, you know, she may just take out the secret that it's my son who is with you, and if something like that happens, because they have read Ramayana and they know what happened with Kaikeyi and Mantra, and how, you know, Kaikeyi had just shared the secret with Mantra that my husband Dashrath is very pleased with me and he has given me these two boons, and that caused the whole havoc. So he was very careful. So only they both met. And then when they met, Vasudev had warned Nanda that you better go back quickly since you have done with your tax giving, because there may be something wrong happening in Gokul. So now Nanda Maharaj, he's on his way, and he's just thinking that, you know, if Vasudev says something, it's not useless. It'll be true, because Vasudev is a devotee of the Lord. Those who are devotees of the Lord, over a period of time, they get something called Vak Siddhi. Vak Siddhi is whatever they speak comes out to be true, you know, because they never speak lie. So their words are so full of potency. They're so powerful. So he's just thinking, because Vasudev never speaks untrue. That's why, you know, he's, when he was born, he's called Anakadundubi, because he never speaks false. And he's something like Yudhishthir Maharaj kind of character, always speaking truth, and very much known in political circles also for his ethical sense and all. So now he's just thinking in his mind, you know, that I just better, you know, get going quickly before anything happens to my beautiful son, Krishna. And then one line that I liked in this translation where it said that he took shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. And I thought that was so beautiful. The father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also teaching us that when you don't know, you know, what to do, then you should take shelter of the Lord. So we should know what to do when we don't know what to do. That means we should know that we are supposed to take shelter of Krishna when we don't know what to do. So I thought that was so beautiful. But taking shelter of the Lord during provocating situations in our life or during reversals can happen only if somebody has practiced to take shelter of Lord in every situation. It needs such a big practice. Otherwise, it doesn't happen naturally. You know, something like if you've been doing it all the time, then during provocating situations also it will happen. Otherwise, it cannot. Something like, I'm just reminded of this very short story of Akbar and Birbal. You know how there's this one man who comes to Akbar's court, and he's multilingual and he speaks all the languages flawlessly. And then he challenges, you know, and he says that, can anybody let me know what's my mother tongue? You know, then I'll really believe them to be, you know, great scholars. So everybody gives a try, but he's so flawless in every language, they can't understand what's his mother tongue. And Birbal says, give me one day, I'll find out what's his mother tongue. And next day morning, he comes in the court and says, this is his mother tongue. Now the scholar is bewildered. He said, how did you manage to do that? Because I speak flawlessly in every language. So he said, today early morning, when you went to the nature's call, now those days they had to go in the open area, he had some little boy spill water on his head. Now at that fit of, you know, anger at that moment, he cursed. He, you know, he started cursing in his mother tongue. So Birbal said that anybody can put up a show, but during the provocating time, the actual color comes out, the actual nature comes out. They can't put up a show at that time. So you curse the boy in your mother tongue. That's how I came to know what's your mother tongue. And I thought that was so beautiful. what we are really comes out when we are put into difficult situation. If we are the ones, you know, who are taking shelter of the Lord, then in every situation we'll be reminded of the Lord. Like the devotees of the Lord, you know, they have this Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva, tvameva bandhu cha sakha tvameva, tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva, tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. That's the quality of divinity. Tvameva mata, for every situation, Krishna. If they are in trouble, Krishna. If they are happy, then also Krishna. Oh Krishna, I want to share with you. This is all because of you. So whatever happens, Tvameva Sarvam Mama Deva Deva. They are completely connected to Krishna. And the family deity of Nanda Maharaj was Narayan. So he immediately prays to Narayan, oh, please protect my beautiful son. We go to the next verse. Kamsena Prahita Ghora Bhutana Balaghatini Shishum Chachara Nignanti Pura Grama Vrajadishu. Now Bhutana is introduced in our story, the villain, you know, she comes in now. So when Nanda Maharaj was returning, now this fierce Bhutana, whom Kamsa had engaged, has now entered, and she's wandering around and she's looking for babies on towns, cities and villages. I think that was very special. It was not that she simply went to Gokul. She went to cities and towns and villages and just about everywhere searching for newborn babies. Now here the Acharyas explain that this word Bhutana is very significant, because Bhutana by her name itself shows that she's not pure, she's not good. Bhutana means one who is not pure. In fact, Bhuta means good qualities. Na means one who does not have any good qualities. That is Bhutana. So it says, Bhutan api na nayati iti Bhutana, who does not have any good qualities. Who's, you know, see, it's so, it's understandable. See, even the very cruel people or the very grave people, you know, there are some people in this world who never have a smile on their face and they're so grave. Even that kind of people who always have a constipated look on their face, even when they see little babies, they'll get some smile on the face. But imagine, I mean, because that's how the babies are. They're so sweet. They can melt anybody. And here is Bhutana, and she wants to kill them. Forget about, like, you know, she just wants to kill the infant. So imagine how hard-hearted she must be. So that's what Bhutana is. And and why is she like that? Because of association of Kamsa. You know, what kind of association we are in, you know, over a period of time, we become like that. Now we see, though Vibhishan, he was not from a devotee family. He is surrounded by all demons, but he is taking association of Ram Naam, the holy name of Lord Ram. So he is a devotee. He takes association of Hanuman, and then he gets association of Lord Ram, and that's how life goes too. Go. You see, Prahlad, he was not born in a devotee family, but he took association of Narad Muni, and we see Dhruva, he took association of Narad Muni, and then we see Mrigari, he was a hunter by profession, but he took association of Narad Muni, and association changed their life forever. Whereas on the contrary, we see Ajamila, he was born in a good family, Brahmin family, pious family, but he took association of a prostitute and his life changes into different directions. So it's all about association. And here both Bhutana and Kamsa are, you know, giving wrong, you know, both are hopeless and they're giving association to each other. Even Bhutana is Balaghatini and Kamsa is also Balaghatini, because he also killed the little infants of Mother Devaki. He killed 6 children. So they both are like that. The birds of same feather flock together. So they are, and then that's how Kamsa appoints her, that you just go and kill the babies. So that's what it is now. We go to the next verse. Na yatra sravanadini rakshognani svakarmashu kurvanti satvatam bhartu yatu dhanyascha tatrahi. This is one very beautiful verse. Because here, as soon as Sukhdev Goswami is telling about this, so Bhutana is all there, and now she's going to, you know, searching for infants to kill them. And Parikshit Maharaj is all worried on his face. You know, now what's going to happen? So he's just consoling him. Okay, come on now, don't worry. Nothing is going to happen, you know. Why nothing is going to happen? Because wherever people in any position perform the occupational duty of devotional service by chanting and hearing, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. And I thought that was so beautiful verse, that wherever somebody is chanting Krishna's name, wherever Krishna's katha is heard, nothing bad can happen. You know, there is this last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, where also they talk about how this congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will remove all the miseries of life. It says that Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Praname Dukkha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param. Nama Sankirtana. Somebody is doing Nama Sankirtana, first thing happens, all sinful reactions gone. And after Sankirtan, what one's supposed to do? Pay obeisances to Krishna. What happens? All material sufferings will go away. So here, forget about Krishna's name, Krishna's katha. Krishna himself is present. So what's the worry? Of course, and one thing I thought was so beautiful is that when we hear some katha and we already know the katha, you know, we are like, okay, fine, I know it. So what's next? Anything new is our mentality. But here we see, I mean, Parikshit Maharaj knows that Krishna was fine. Otherwise, how he became Parthasarathi for his grandfather Arjuna. I mean, definitely Krishna was alive and nothing has happened. But he got so engrossed in the katha, he's asking as if he doesn't know what's going to happen next. Of course, this is very beautiful commentary given where you know, by the Vaishnava Acharya said, actually no killing happens. Putana directly goes to Krishna and the whole pastime happens and then Krishna kills Putana. So there is nothing to worry. Putana has actually not killed anybody. There is nothing to worry there. So Srinath Chakravarti in his Chaitanya Manjusha, he explains that actually when Putana went in search of infants by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, the first house she went in was Krishna's house, and that's what happened. So no killing has happened. Whereas Jiva Goswami says killing has happened, but it has happened to Kamsa's associates, because Putana went to town, city, village, many places. So maybe Kamsa's associates who had given birth to infant child within that 6 days time period, their children will kill, but nobody was killed in Vraja, because Name Bhakta Pranashyati, Lord protects his devotees. So this is what happens. We go to the next verse. Sekhe chari ekadot patya putananda gokulam yoshitva mayayatmanam pravishat kamacharini. So now this Putana, who can move according to her desire, is wandering in the outer space and she's just entering Gokula, the abode of Nanda Maharaj. You know, many times devotees have this question. How come, you know, Krishna is always killing ladies first? In Ram Leela also, he killed, the first demon he killed was Tadaka. And then here also, the first demon is he kills is Putana. So what's with the ladies? So some of the Vaishnava Acharyas have given a very good commentary to that. And I just want to share it because it's very nectarian. They say it's because this word Gokula, you know, Putana is entering Gokula. This Gokula can be interpreted in so many beautiful ways. Go means cow. Gokula means the place where the cows are sheltered. But go also means senses. So Gokula also means network of senses. So usually whenever a sadhaka, a devotee of the Lord, is trying to focus his senses on Krishna, then what is the first obstacle that comes, you know, disturbing the network of his senses? Is the opposite gender. That's the first obstacle comes in anybody's life. But even after that obstacle comes, if one continues to pray to Krishna, then Krishna takes it upon himself personally to remove that obstacle from his life. Is what is, you know, meaning of this term here, says the Acharya. And I thought that was so beautiful. So he gave the meaning of Gokula as network of senses. So this network of senses is always, you know, being disturbed by the opposite gender. And here Krishna is a boy, so the opposite gender is a lady. So the first thing he wants to do is remove that obstacle. That is why, whether it was Ramalila or it was Krishna Lila, he first kills a lady demoness. Of course, this is all like the Rasika Acharyas are trying to add more and more sweetness to this katha and giving different interpretations of why Krishna did what, when, how, and what is his intention behind it, and just trying to add some rasa. So this is what's happened. And one thing very special happens is this pastime happens on the sixth day. So Krishna is a six-day-old baby, and this is also very special, says the Acharyas, because according to the astrological signs also, the sixth day is a very important day in child's life, because on that day, Brahma comes with the Shashti Devi, you know, the sixth day, Shashti Devi, and they write the destiny of the child. So that is why in every household, almost all Hindu household, on the sixth day when the baby is born, on the sixth day they have a nice ceremony and they welcome the Shashti Devi and Brahma. And I remember in my house, in the small pita, like a small altar they prepare and some flower garlands and sweets, and they welcome Brahma, they please write a nice destiny for my child, is what they do. So this is very special. So they say that is why, you know, Putana has selected this date, because she's thinking before even Brahma writes the destiny of the child, I finish the child itself on the sixth day itself. But Vallabhacharya gives another, angle to it. He says, actually the day and time that was selected was very inauspicious. He says it was Ashlesha Nakshatra. He says Ashlesha Nakshatra means very inauspicious. And especially it was Mrityu Yoga, and especially that ghati, that each ghati is 24 minutes. So that ghati was Vishaghati, poison ghati, at that time when Putana entered into Gokul, and especially when she entered in Nanda Maharaj's Bhavan, it was the most inauspicious time. So anybody, you know, who is administered poison at that time, what will happen? Definitely death, you know, it's completely inauspicious. But here, because Krishna himself is, you know, auspiciousness personified, what has actually happened is it has turned other way around, and it has become, you know, Mrityu Yoga for Putana, and she has to leave her body. This is what happens to her. So this Nishachari, Nisha means night, and Chari means one who moves around at night. So this Nishachari is all ready now to kill Krishna, and she has entered Nanda Gokula, and she has entered Nanda Maharaj's house. Here in the next verse is a huge verse wherein Sukadeva Goswami is explaining about the beauty of Putana. How is her face? How is her waist? How she is dressed? How she wore a garland of Mallika flowers? How there are hairs scattered on her beautiful face? Her earrings? And sometimes devotees find it very funny. How come so much descriptions about the beauty of Putana? It's not even about beauty of Radharani or the gopis or Yashoda. Why so much explanation about beauty of it? Demoness, what are we supposed to do with that, hearing her beauty? So the Acharyas explain, no, actually, why is he doing that? Because he just knows after four verses or after just a few verses, she's going to become nurse, Dhatri. She's going to feed milk to Krishna. She's going to take a position of mother. She's going to take a position of nurse. She's going to go back home, back to Godhead, to Goloka. So that she's going to become devotee. So better to, you know, praise her beauty now itself, because just after a few chapters, Sukadeva Goswami is going to praise the beauty of Jashoda Maharani during the Damodar Leela. So why so much injustice? Whereas both are, you know, one is nurse and one is a mother. So better to explain about her beauty also, how beautiful she was looking. Why to do injustice? So anyway, she's going to become a devotee soon. So now that's the principle, is it not? We respect all the Vaishnavas, one who is already Vaishnava, one who are going to become Vaishnava. So everybody is respected. But the other Acharya says, well, the whole point why this explanation is for us to know that, you know, the before after thing. I don't know, nowadays, you know, I'm ending up watching a lot of commercials on YouTube, because sometimes they don't even have the option of skipping ad. You have to watch it. And, you know, and I was just watching this one particular ad where they show a man who is bald head, you know, before, and then after he gets the treatment done, he gets all the hair, you know, the before and after picture, and they put it, you know, so do you want to get hair, then you can just contact us. Something like this Sukadeva Goswami is doing, before and after. So before, what was Putana? I mean, looking beautiful, this and that, and what happened to her after touch of Krishna? Her real nature comes out. And this is what happens with devotees. We may put up all the show of hypocrisy, but when actually comes in touch of Krishna, when actually comes in touch with Krishna, comes in touch with the holy name, then the real us comes out, and then the purification process starts. Because frankly, everybody is having at least three masks on the face. One is a public, you know, the way we talk, interact with the people, the public life. And then one is a private life, you know, the family life, where you interact with your parents, your husband, your wife, your children, your family. They know you one way. The outside people know you one way. And then there is a secret life. There is a public life, there is a private life, and then there is a secret life, which is only between you and Krishna, and nobody knows about it. Now, the problem is, unless and until our public life and private life and secret life merge and we become one, and until that, the spiritual life does not start, because we're always putting up mask and mask and mask. And more than trying to become a good devotee, the whole process is trying to prove to people that I'm a good devotee, and that is so taxing. Because if 80% of our time is wasted in proving to people that I'm a good devotee, there's so much time waste. If that much endeavor is actually put into become a good devotee, it will be so helpful. So this is what happens. So there are so many masks that we are wearing. So here it says, but once you come in touch with Krishna, and then you remove all the masks, and then you are same in public, and then you are same in private, and then you are same everywhere, then your spiritual journey begins. It does not end there, because that's not the goal of life, to culminate or to merge all these three personalities that we have. But that's the beginning of spiritual life, when somebody just leaves hypocrisy, and then they're as they are inside out, and then the whole spiritual journey begins of purification and becoming better and better every day. So this is what happens. So here is explaining that before all that makeup, face, hypocrisy, and now the real nature, what she is, has come out after Krishna touches. That's why all the explanation of her beauty. And of course, one more point that I was, my attention was drawn, was the inhabitants of the Vraja, they were drawn by her beauty. Now, somebody may say, really? But we thought the devotees of Vrindavan, they are pure devotees. So why did they get attracted to Putana? I mean, we thought, you know, gopi means gopi, pivati, who are drinking Krishna with all their senses, with their eyes, nose, ears. They want to hear about Krishna, talk about Krishna, look at Krishna. Then what happened? Why, when Krishna is present, why are they attracted to Putana's beauty? Here it says the men, especially the men, and even the gopis, when they saw the beauty of Putana, they were attracted. So why did this happen? So the Acharya has explained that, well, don't misunderstand the Vrajavasis, don't do that. Now, it's just that this is Yoga Maya's plan. She is doing it just to enhance the beauty of, enhance the Leela, you know, to make sure that the pastime happens. Because if they don't get attracted to Putana, and they stop Putana from entering, and then what will be there for us to relish? You know, it has to happen. For any story, there has to be a hero, and there has to be a heroine, and there has to be a villain who comes and disturbs their love story. Something has to happen to make it very interesting. Because otherwise, you see, we see in Ramayana also, Mother Sita gets attracted to a deer. So now somebody may say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rama, is sitting next to her. Why is she get attracted? You know, she's getting attracted to a deer. But this is all Leela. You know, except Krishna or Rama, they are not attracted to anybody. But this is all Yoga Maya's arrangement. And we see that Mother Yashoda was having Krishna in her lap in Damodar Leela, but she gets attracted to the milk which is boiling over. And we see that Krishna's sakhas, they're playing with Krishna, but they get attracted to Aghasura. They think, oh, nice cave, and let us go inside. So why is this happening? When the Supreme Lord is present in front of them, why are they getting attracted to other things? But then we understand it's all Yoga Maya's arrangement. So now they all got attracted to her, and they all are, you know, they put down their guards, and they're just looking at her beauty, and they're allowing her to go wherever she wants to, and she's freely moving around. So, and also another thing is, the Vrajavasis are very simple people, you know. They are just thinking, Oh, she's having a lotus in her hand. Maybe it's Lakshmi Devi. Maybe Lakshmi Devi came in search of Vishnu and she has entered our village. And some other Vrajavasis are, no, looks like she's some Apsara. And then some people say, no, looks like she's a demigoddess, maybe wife of Indra. She has, Sachi Devi has come personally, and they're all discussing like that. So Vrajavasis are so simple by heart, they can't even imagine that somebody may have such evil intention of, you know, trying to kill an infant, or they cannot even imagine such things. They are simple-hearted people. Vrajavasis are so sweet and so simple-hearted that even in evil, they can't see evil. You know, generally, we sadhakas, we are struggling so much. Even in good, we see bad. Even if somebody is so good, even if somebody is so good and so nice devotee, we are always looking for some fault. He may be good, but she may be good, but, you know, we always have that but just to satisfy ourselves. But that is the problem with her, but that is the problem with him. And then we satisfy ourselves. Finally, I got some fault in her or some fault in him, and I'm okay with that. But Vrajavasis, they're like bees, you know, like the bees. Even if they're near a dustbin also, they'll try to see if some flowers there or petals there and try to take some nectar. And contrary to that, our natures are more like housefly. Even in the garden, we would like to see where is the litter, somewhere some dirt, and then I can go and breed there. We're always trying to find fault with others, but Vrajavasis are simple-hearted people. Even in evil, they can't see evil. Even in bad, they can't see anything bad. In bad also, they see good. And they say, no, she's very nice. She must have come to give nourishing milk to our Lala so that our Lala will become nice and strong, is what they are thinking. So this way Putana enters, and then finally Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they are like just looking at her, and you know, they happily give Krishna to her. So now Putana gets inside, and then she takes Krishna in her lap, and now comes the real nectar, because here you know, Krishna, the moment Putana has taken Krishna in the lap, Krishna closes his eyes. Now, why Krishna closes his eyes is another beautiful narration by, Jiva Goswami gives three reasons, and Baladev Vidya Bhushan gives one reason, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives five reasons, and Hari Sauriji gives 15 reasons. Now, I don't know how many reasons we can complete, but they're all giving different reasons on this simple one thing. Why did Krishna close his eyes when Putana took him in the lap? For that one thing, they've given so many reasons. And why so many different reasons? Because Krishna's Leela is like, you know, like that Vaidarya Mani. Vaidarya Mani is such like, if you, from different angles, you can see it in a different way. Different colors will reflect. So Krishna's Leela is like that. You know, different acharyas seeing it from different ways. So all the reasons we can't complete, but some of the reasons we'll try to touch now. So he says, why did Krishna do that? Because Krishna is thinking in his mind that, oh, I already killed Thadaka in my previous, pastime, and again lady, oh no, you know, he doesn't want to look at her face. And then another acharya says, no, actually he's praying to Lord Shiva. He's saying, I just left Shira Sagara and I came here, and I thought these guys will give me some butter, and the first thing they give me on the sixth day is poison. Is it fair? And he's just closing his eyes and praying to Shiva that when poison came out from Payodhara, that is the samudra, ocean is called Payodhara because Payo also means water, so one which holds water, and the breast is also called Payodhara, which holds milk. So when the ocean came out, when the poison came out from Payodhara, ocean, Lord Shiva took it, and this time the poison is again coming out from Payodhara, the breast, and maybe Lord Shiva will come to my rescue is what he's expecting, so he closed his eyes. And the other acharya says, no, actually he closed his eyes because of daya, compassion. He's thinking, I'm going to kill her and I don't want to see that pain in her eyes when she's actually getting killed. I better close my eyes. And then the other acharya says, no, actually Krishna is thinking that if I open my eyes, you know, I'll get angry, and out of my anger, I may just burn her to ashes, and then this whole Leela won't happen, so better I close my eyes. And the other acharya says, Krishna is thinking, if I look at her, then all her avidya, all her ignorance will go away and she'll get purified and she'll decide not to kill me, then how will the Leela progress, you know? So better I close my eyes. And then the other Acharya says, well, actually Krishna is thinking, there are seven mothers, right? The king's wife and the brahmana's wife and the cow and the guru's wife. And so she's also, you know, one of the mother and nurse, biological mother. They're all seven different mothers. So you're not supposed to kill your mother. So, but I'm going to kill. So I better close my eyes. And then some other Acharya says, well, actually, there was an issue going on inside his stomach because he's Vishwambar, all the universe, all the chara, achara, the moving, non-moving jivas are inside his body. And they're all protesting. My Lord, are you going to take poison? So what will happen to us? There will be annihilation? Are we going to die? So he's just closing his eyes and negotiating with them and saying, look guys, be cool. Nothing is going to happen. I'm going to take care of you. He's just talking to them. So he closes the eyes. And then the other Acharya, he made very interesting commentary. He said, there was an issue because the sun and the moon, the sun is one eye of Krishna and moon is another eye of Krishna. And they got all upset with Krishna because they said, look, if you are going to purify Putana, it's unfair because she has come with the intention to kill you and you still want to purify. And if this is the way you want to behave, we better resign, you know, because there has to be some justice. How can you be so kind? So they may resign. So he's just negotiating with them. He's just closed the eyes, you know, because the sun and moon are watching it happen. And then the other Acharya says, well, actually, Krishna doesn't want to do asat sangha, you know, because she's a demoness and Krishna is a Vaishnav, you know. His mother wanted Krishna to be a Vaishnav, right? In the Gopal Champu, there is this beautiful song which Yashoda Mata sings that my son should be a nice Vaishnav. So Vaishnav means asat sangha tyag. So Krishna doesn't want to look at Putana, doesn't want to take sangha of a Vaishnavi, you know. And then some other Acharya says, well, actually, because Putana is a hypocrite, Krishna doesn't want to look at her face. And then somebody says, because Krishna is a father. And when a father is punishing the child, he doesn't like it. He's feeling bad himself, so he doesn't want to see. And then somebody else says that, well, actually, you know, when small children, they take bitter medicine, the natural reaction will be like, you know, closing the eyes. So he's like, he's going to take the bitter poison now. So he's just closing his eyes before he takes it. And then somebody else says, Krishna wanted to just behave like an innocent baby so that Putana doesn't get warned about Krishna. Because if she sees Krishna's eyes and if she sees, oh, how confident Krishna is and he's not afraid, then she may just, you know, get more worked up and, okay, let me just try to use all my power. But now she's thinking, oh, a small baby has closed his eyes. So she's now, you know, given up all her guards. And then the other Acharya says, well, actually, Krishna didn't look at her face because Krishna said, I just want to see it, my mother's face. I don't want to see anybody. He just wants to see Yashoda. So, of course, I can go on and on. There are some another 20 reasons, but we'll try to complete this chapter. So that's what happens. And then finally, Putana has taken Krishna on the lap and Krishna has started sucking Putana's milk. And he's actually sucking it. He's actually sucking the milk. And, you know, and Putana, she was expecting that the moment he touches her breast and he will be killed. But Krishna is happily drinking the milk. And then finally what happens? The moment Krishna holds her breast so tightly with his mouth, then Putana understands that something else is happening and she's not very comfortable and she starts understanding the power of Krishna and she doesn't want Krishna anymore to touch her. So she starts shouting, you know, Muncha, Muncha, just leave me, just leave me, just leave me alone. But now we know the nature of Krishna. He holds somebody, he only knows to hold. He doesn't know how to leave. That's what he does with his devotees also. One time somebody chants Krishna's name and that's about it. And that's it. Tava Asmi. Krishna just accepts that person as his own and he won't leave that soul. So this is what Krishna did. The moment, you know, he held Putana and now he doesn't want to leave and Putana doesn't know what to do and how to get rid of him. So Putana starts running with the hope that if I start running fast, maybe this child will slip and fall. But Krishna is holding so tightly on her breast and Putana has started running And she started running out of the house. Now, these demons, for them to maintain their artificial form, which they have taken up, they have to, you know, use a lot of energy. But now all her energy is going on defending herself. So she started coming to her natural form, and she's growing and she's becoming more larger, and all the teeth are coming out. And so this is what happens, and she's running. So in the next verses, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining about, you know, how she was screaming loudly, and, you know, the way she was screaming, people thought there is an earthquake or some thunderbolts are falling or what? What is happening, you know? And then she's just running, and people are, you know, very much agree. What is this happening? Why is there so much noise coming? And now Putana has spread her arms and legs and hair, and she's just fell down finally in her original form. Now, this is one very sweet point here, that Krishna made sure that, you know, none of his furniture in the house is disturbed, you know, because Putana runs and runs and runs, and finally she runs to a place which belongs to Kamsa. So none of the trees or the jivas in Gokul were disturbed, and there is where she falls in the garden which belongs to Kamsa, disturbing and destroying all those trees, and finally she comes into her original form. So this is what happens here. And then, and then in the next verses talks about how when her body fell down, all the trees within a limit of 12 miles all got smashed into powders, you know. So what is the qualification of Putana? How come, you know, after all that planning and scheming she did, then still she got delivered by the Lord? The Acharyas say the only qualification that Putana had is her mind was thinking about Krishna. And in her mind, she was thinking about serving Krishna. So what Krishna does is, Baldev Vidya Bhushan says in his commentary in Vishnu Sahasranam, that Krishna has two names, Nimisha and Animisha. Nimisha and Animisha. Animisha means one who does not blink his eyes. Nimisha means one who blinks his eyes. So he says Krishna has two names, because what Krishna does is, whenever somebody is doing something wrong, then he blinks his eyes. He says, I can't see, I cannot see, what did he do wrong? He just tries to ignore. And whenever somebody does something nice, his devotee, then, you know, he over-exaggerates it and he tries to reward it. So here in Putana's case also, Krishna is just seeing that part of Putana. Her mind was on me. She was looking for me. She was searching for me. And the second thing is, she came to give me milk. Now, with that, she came to give poison. That part Krishna avoids. Krishna says, it's more about presentation. She gave me milk. That's important. It's not about intention. Whatever the intention may be, presentation is important. Then somebody may argue with Krishna, oh, really? But then what about Sabari Mata? She gave you, the bears. She gave you those, fruits which were eaten by her. So her presentation was not good. So Krishna says, that's all right. Presentation is not important. Intention is important. So whenever the presentation is wrong, Krishna says, who cares about presentation? Intention is important. Whenever the intention is wrong, Krishna says, who cares about intention? Presentation is important. At least you tried to give me milk. And when there is both presentation and intention, both are wrong. In case of Indra, Indra wanted to kill the Vrajavasis. So his intention was wrong. And his presentation also was wrong, because he sent the clouds, which were supposed to be sent during annihilation, to kill the Vrajavasis. Then now when Krishna is questioned, look, sir, what about presentation, intention, both are wrong here. Then Krishna says, well, that's all right, but at least he asked for forgiveness, na? So that's all right, I forgive him. That's Krishna's nature. And there's another Acharya who comments. He says, well, actually, the whole point why Krishna forgave Putana was because Putana was giving milk like mother, and Putana reminded Krishna of Mother Yashoda, so he forgave Putana. And I thought, if somebody simply reminds Krishna of his devotee, Krishna can be so kind to him. Probably that's why whenever, you know, we are in Aarti or wherever we are, all of us devotees, we make sure we say, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Because we understand that if Krishna is reminded of his devotee, by somebody, he becomes very happy. So anyway, we may not be so pure when we present ourselves in front of Krishna, but when we say Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai and we keep Prabhupada in our heart and we remind Krishna of his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, maybe Krishna will take mercy on us, you know, and then ignore all our impurities. So anyway, so then finally, Krishna is, he just sucks out the life air and Putana is on the ground and all these Vrajavasis and all, they're taken aback. What has happened? And Mother Yashoda and Rohini are all, unconscious. They're on the floor. And finally, when Putana is all dead, then the gopis, they just running there. And what did they see? Oh, Krishna is playing on the breast of Putana. And Putana's body is maybe a few kilometers long and wide. And then they slowly climb on Putana's body. And there Krishna is playing on the breast of Putana. And they just, bring Krishna. It's a beautiful scene. And Krishna is as if nothing happened. He's playing with his toes. He's playing with his hands. You know, this beautiful verse. Kararavinde na padaravindam Mukharavinde vinivesayantam Vatasya patrasya puteshayanam Balam mukundam manasasmarami. Beautiful Kararavinde. His lotus-like hands and his lotus-like feet, and he's just playing there. And the gopis, they just take Krishna. And then they go to Mother Yashoda and they put Krishna on her bosom. And immediately Mother regains consciousness. And then they do all the purification process. They get a cow and then they take the switch of a cow and they wave it around Krishna. And then they do, there are lots of beautiful slokas here. How they do achaman and, the gopis, they do this. And I was just thinking this one very important point here is that the gopis were not educated in some gurukul or they didn't know scriptures, but they knew basic things like nyasa mantra and purification and how they're supposed to do achaman. So they do achaman here. And usually achaman is like done six times. You do Keshavaya Namaha and then Narayana Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, and then you take water, Govindaya Namaha, and you clean your hand and then you again do it. So you do it 3 + 3, 6 times. So the acharyas say that just like the gopis did achaman, Krishna also did achaman. Why he did achaman? Because brahmanas, before they eat something, they're supposed to do achaman. Brahmanas who are bhojana priya, the first thing they'll do is achaman before they take bhojana. Now Krishna is also going to take bhojan. He's also going to take feast. What is that feast? Killing of so many demons. So before killing, he wanted to do achaman. So he also did achaman 6 times. So how did he do that? By taking Putana's milk, that is one, and other 5 life airs that he sucked out of Putana's. That is the, the Pranavayu, Apanavayu, Dhanavayu, and Samanavayu, and Vyanavayu, the 5 life airs he sucked out, and Putana's milk. So 5 + 1, 6. So he also finished his achaman because now he's going to kill all the demons. There is going to be a feast. And why the word eating? Because when Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, Arjuna actually saw that these demons are actually going inside Krishna's mouth and he's eating them. So Krishna did the achaman before killing the other demons by drinking the milk of Putana and by sucking out all her 5 life airs. So finally, Putana is all dead, and then the purification process happens. And now something very beautiful Yashoda and all the gopis do is they chant different names of Krishna. They chant Aja, Keshava, Hari, Gadadhara, Urugraya, Upendra. Oh, please protect our dear Lala's hands, his arms, his head and his corners and his lips and his everything, every part of the body. They are chanting a name and they are saying, please protect Krishna, please protect Krishna. And I thought this was so beautiful, because if Krishna's holy name can protect Krishna, definitely it can protect us. So it gives us such confidence. Yes, so like that, they go on, may Chakri protect you from the front, may Hari protect you from the back, and may the enemy of Madhu protect you. So like that, they go on and on with so many different names or Rishikesha, Narayana, Yogeshwara, you know, and these will go on for a few verses. And then finally, what they do is they cut the body of Putana into pieces because it's huge body. So, and they have to burn it because if they just bury it, then some kind of weird plants may grow, which may not be healthy because she's a demoness and she was having poison. So they decided that they want to burn her body. Now, burning that huge body would be so difficult. They have to get so much wood. So they decided to cut her body into pieces and then they were trying to burn it. And the other beautiful point in this chapter is that she's a demoness, but because she got touched by Krishna, her body becomes purified. And now when they burn her body, beautiful fragrance, I mean, very nice aroma comes out from her body. And it's like agru, and it's spreading far and wide. And when Nanda Maharaj actually comes, he's thinking, what happened? Is Bali Maharaj doing some yajna in Sutala? Why is this beautiful fragrance coming out? But this fragrance is actually coming out from the body of Putana because she's touched by Krishna. And then finally, Nanda Maharaj is thinking in his mind, oh, it's good, you know, that I came back quickly. Vasudev was right. You know, there's something really wrong happened here. Now this Putana was, you know, according to Garga Samhita and Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Of course, there are two opinions in Brahma Vaivarta Purana and Garga Samhita. They say differently. At one place, they say Putana was Bali Maharaj's sister. At one place, they say she was Bali Maharaj's daughter in her previous life. And when Krishna had come like Vamana and taken away all the wealth of Bali Maharaj, then Ratnamala got all upset. Initially, when she saw the beautiful form of Vamana, she was thinking, oh, so beautiful, I wish I could be his mother. And the moment she saw how he took away all the wealth of Bali Maharaj, then she thought in her mind, oh, this kind of boy should be killed actually. So there were two contradictory desires. She wanted to be mother and she wanted to kill. So then she got this form of Putana where she could be a mother briefly. And then she also got an opportunity to kill the Lord because Lord fulfills all desires. But elsewhere in Mahabharata, I have heard that Putana was Charumati in her previous life and her husband Kakshivan had gone to Kasi for a pilgrimage and meanwhile she engaged in an illicit affair with another person. And when her husband came to know that, he said, you will become a witch, you know. So then she just begged him, oh, please don't give me this big curse, you know, I'm repentant, you know, please forgive me. And then he said, okay, you will become a witch, but you will get an opportunity to associate with the Supreme Lord and he will deliver you. So that's how this, you know, two things mix up, the Ratnamala desire as Ratnamala and the curse from her husband. So she becomes a witch and who takes up a role of the mother, tries to kill Krishna and then finally gets delivered by Krishna. And then we now come to the last verse, 44th verse, which is so important because this verse gives the Phalashruti. What happens when you hear this katha of killing of Putana? It says, any person who hears with faith and devotion about how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Putana and who thus invests his hearing in such childhood pastimes of Krishna certainly attains attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Original Person. And that's so beautiful. When we hear and we hear and we hear again and again, swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade, then what happens? We get attachment for Govinda, the Supreme Person. So I thought that was very beautiful because the essence of our spiritual life is to somehow or the other keep Krishna in our smarana, Krishna in our remembrance. And how do you keep somebody in our remembrance unless and until we know more and more and more about that person? So the more and more and more we hear about Krishna, then those pastimes of Krishna are the paintings hanging in the wall of our heart. And when we leave the body at that time, we can see all these paintings. Otherwise, Maya will hang her paintings in our heart. So better we remove those paintings and hang the paintings of Krishna. And those who are, of course, those who are liberated, they're actually enjoying Krishna Leela and they're right now there participating directly in Krishna's Leela. But conditioned souls like us can actually relish Krishna Leela in our heart. When we hear again and again, then in our heart, Krishna is born. And in some other devotee's heart, Krishna is killing Putana. And then in some other devotee's heart, Krishna is killing Kamsa. And that way, you know, we are all, some or the other pastime is getting manifested in our heart. And in the and we repeatedly immerse ourselves, our consciousness and our mind into that. And we get purified. And then antakale, you know, at that moment when we are leaving the body, we can remember Krishna, and Krishna has given that condition, that smaranam, smaranam. He said, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. If you can keep me in your smaran, only then you can come back to me, back home, back to Godhead. So, so with this, I'll end it here. Thank you so much. I hope I haven't gone over time. I'll end it here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sarva Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sarva Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sarva Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.